so excited. Give it to me. Give
it to me. Hello, I'm Tom Maris.
And I'm Molly Wood. Welcome. This is It's a Thing.
Episode 2.
Episode 2.
This is the show where we identify things and tell you about them.
Because we think they're things.
That was a horrible explanation. Sorry.
Yep. No, it's true, though. That's basically the show, though. And you should know, all these things are completely subjective. There are zero metrics applied
to identification
of these things.
In fact, last week's thing from me was just an overheard conversation. Mm-hmm. This week's thing, I don't even have a source. It's just my own looking around going, huh.
I don't even know. But that is it. That's exactly the ethos of the show. It is just a vague sort of trend spotting.
Trend spotting is almost even too fancy of a word.
Yeah, it's true. Because it's not like we're that hip. It's just things.
I'm certainly not.
All right. So you've been looking around in your one limited geographic area and you've noticed what?
Well, as I mentioned last week, I just moved to Los Angeles. So I've been doing a lot of exploring. And as I mentioned last week, a lot of that exploring involves eating. And wow, I had heard that the LA area was really into burgers. I'm like, all right, yeah, well, I've been in a lot of places that are into burgers. They are really into burgers. I had no idea.
LA is really into burgers?
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. In fact, it's one of those things where everybody's got an opinion about the best burger. And sometimes those opinions are tiered into like, well, there's the best fast food burger. And then there's the best just big juicy burger. And then there's the best gourmet burger.
And those are all different. It's really hard. That, you know, I have noticed that it's very hard to go on something like Yelp and search for best burger because of all those little distinctions.
Exactly. Well, and it is like coffee in San Francisco. And I'm sure coffee in a lot of other places too. But right in San Francisco, it's like, oh, are you a sight glass person or a blue bottle person? You know, oh, Pete's. What's wrong with you? Get with
That's totally. Yeah, that's an offshoot thing, actually. I think at least in San Francisco and I think elsewhere, coffee is becoming the new wine.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of that down here. There's Intelligentsia and Stumptown, and you know, I'm starting to get the feel of the coffee roasters. But the burger thing is very divisive. There's arguments. People are like, Umami Burger is the like really high end gourmet burger. Then there's Father's Office, which is a gastropub that serves just a really tasty, juicy burger. And then there's The Counter, which everyone kind of looks down on. Some people still say, oh, that's my favorite burger. But they're like, oh, but they ever since they've expanded to so many locations, the quality has just gone down.
That sounds pretty LA, actually, that last part.
Uh-huh.
So what is your because I think part of this comes down to the fact that people have different criteria for a good burger. You know, like some people want it to be super juicy. Other people like a lot of cheese. Other people are all about the bun. Like I don't like it when I get a burger that's on ciabatta or something where it rips off the top of my mouth, you know.
Right.
Anyway, what's your criteria for the good burger?
Well, yeah, and I didn't even talk about like Tommy's Burgers and Five Guys, which are kind of your traditional fast food, In-N-Out, obviously.
Dude, oh my God, have you had Five Guys?
No, I haven't had Five Guys yet.
Get thee to a Five Guys.
I would have to eat burgers every day to be able to eat at all the burgers places, and I know Five Guys should be high on my list, don't get me wrong. I have been told this for years by my friend Rich.
I feel like you should do sort of a Morgan Spurlock kind of thing where you eat a burger like maybe 30 days, you know, like you used to.
30 days of burgers.
30 days of burgers. That would be an awesome blog.
Well, I think my favorite so far, well, okay. It's hard to answer because I had a lamb burger with duck confit.
Yum.
Which was absolutely to die for, but that's not a burger, right? And the place where I ate it was not trying to put themselves out there as a burger place. That was just something they had on the menu. That is the best burger I had, though. I would say Father's Office probably suits my type of burger. Like just a nice big burger on a delicious bun. Usually the bun is my least favorite part of a burger, but they actually make a like buttery classic bun that tastes good. It's freshly made. And just lettuce, tomato, and cheese, dripping with cheese.
Oh my gosh. Dripping with cheese is key for me.
Yeah.
And I think I am definitely about the meat blends with the burger. Like I like a burger that's, you know, pork and beef or, you know, one of the, like if the meat blend can make a burger, can really elevate, can really elevate a burger.
Well, the umami burger place, that's what they specialize in, is different kinds of blends and toppings to create like different experiences.
Yum. But I can see what you're saying, and I can see why that would be divisive, because as soon as you start talking about a burger as an experience, it's true that you're not really talking so much about burgers anymore.
And I've come to have to defend In-N-Out. Can you believe this?
What?
Yeah. Now, I've defended In-N-Out to people who just don't get it. They're like, I don't know, In-N-Out, I tried it. Wasn't that great? And that's a different thing. I'm talking about people who are like, no, the concept of In-N-Out is invalid for burgers. Father's Office, Umami, those are the ways to make a burger. In-N-Out, it's fast food.
Burgers are fast food.
Exactly.
Burgers have always been fast food.
I have nothing to say to that.
This is like last week's food backlash thing.
It is.
Encapsulated in one food type.
It is the test case for the food backlash. And the thing is, it's like, well, you're talking about burgers, right? This isn't high-end organic food. This isn't Sugar Towers. This isn't, you know, some kind of locally sourced, although sometimes I guess the beef is locally sourced, but whatever. Yeah. Like, we're talking about probably one of the least healthy types of food you could possibly put in your body.
What has gone wrong in America that we have gotten snobby about burgers? Come on, people. I will say my current favorite in San Francisco, should you happen to be nearby, is at a place called Hog and Rocks in the Mission.
I don't know Hog and Rocks.
Yeah, it's kind of new, and they basically just do oysters and pork dishes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So their burger is the blend that I was talking about. I think it's pork and beef.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was pork and oysters. Damn.
Ew. Disgusting. No, it's pork and beef. But it is, and this is the quiet genius of this burger, they use American cheese.
Ah, yeah. You know what? And I went through a long period as a child after having been served American cheese while having, I believe, pneumonia when I was like 6. I couldn't eat American cheese for a long time unless it was melted on a burger.
Yeah, because melted on a burger is the way to have American cheese.
The one thing that was not associated in my mind with illness regarding American cheese was melted on a burger. It was too good for my brain to reject it.
Good brain. Good job, brain. Actually, American cheese not melted on a burger is a little bit gross.
It is. But that didn't you ever have the like American cheese and mayonnaise on white bread sandwich?
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah.
And then actually the other way that American cheese gets okay is if it goes in your lunchbox on like a turkey sandwich and it all gets a little bit warm throughout that, which is probably not,
yes,
not
right.
Healthy. That was not healthy.
No, especially for the turkey.
Especially for the turkey. I try not to think about that, how we grew up. But
salmonella sandwich.
Right. But once the American, but like cold, congealed, you know, two put together American cheese is not that good. But once it starts to warm up a little and get the goo factor, right. Somewhere people are actually gagging listening to it.
It's about the melting. It really is.
It is, though. It's about the melting. And the fact that Hog and Rocks, this like, you know, kind of fancy place in the Mission, is doing American cheese on their burger is making it. But I have to say, my other current favorite burger right now is Five Guys. That is a freaking delicious burger. And yeah. Yes, like so many of you, I was inspired to try it by the Damn, Damn, Damn song.
Ah, okay. I knew about it before that, but you're right. That is popularizing or spreading the word. The other sideline to this, there's the burger wars and the like sort of political affiliation. Don't talk about politics, religion, or burger choice if you want to have a pleasant conversation. But there's also the Tommy's ripoffs, because Tommy's is legendary. They've been around forever. And there are literally dozens of places around here. There's one right on the corner near my house called Tommy's. TOMY_S.
No.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
And then there's Tommy's? TOMIES? That's over on Lincoln, something like that. Like, that. Really? Did Tommy's Burgers just not legally active, so they just let this stuff happen?
Maybe. Well, you know what I mean? If it's not actually called Tommy's, I guess there's nothing they can do about it.
Well, it's trademark confusion, though, right? It's like cyber squatting.
That's
apparently the Tommy's, even though it's a ripoff, is fairly good, according to Yelp. I haven't tried it.
If anything's going to be a thing, it ought to be burgers. I'm looking forward to your 30 days of burgers blog.
I gotta
and
start.
Then your ensuing 30 days in the hospital.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to do 30 days of lettuce before I start 30 days.
Some of them could be, well, I'm sure there's like kale burger.
Yeah. That's true. If I'm allowed to go that route, that wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah, like you can do like the cleanse burgers.
Right. Veggie burgers, Boca burgers, turkey burgers.
Also, I will rock a turkey burger. I like a turkey burger.
I love a turkey burger. It's not the same thing. It's a different. It's a turkey patty, right?
Yes.
It's not a burger, but it's good. I love it.
But it's good. I really love it. You can stuff a little feta on the inside. All right. Well, my thing for this week is inspired by my child. He's going to be six in just a few days. And his preferred form of entertainment is watching videos on YouTube of people. This is embarrassing. And I'm sorry, my darling son, to have outed you on this.
Oh,
but
no.
It's watching people review Lego sets. Like they buy them and then they unbox them.
This is on television or on like YouTube?
On YouTube.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
And this reviews thing is a huge thing. And it's adults and kids who will be like, I got the latest Ninjago set. And then they unbox the set and they put together the minifigure and they talk about the play actions and they show all the different blocks and they talk about the price. And there's whole like named series. There's one that, you know, they'll have like block this or that in the name. And reviewing these Lego sets is a really big deal. And he will sit there and watch like four or five of them in a row. And now he wants to make his own review videos every time he gets a new toy
or a new
Lego thing. Yeah. And he will, and it's the cutest thing you've ever seen. He'll be like, hey guys. Like he just totally emulates what he sees on these shows, on these YouTube videos.
Consumer Reports must love this.
Oh, yeah. And it has become such a thing that there is now a website devoted to children reviewing things. Like video reviews by kids for kids. They call it like a safe place, a safe online place for tweens to have their say. Cool Mom Tech wrote it up and I follow them on Twitter. And so Kids Views has all these kids reviewing all kinds of things. So it's not, you know, they're reviewing like pizza or cake pops or beauty products for 12-year-olds or things like that. And sure enough, there's a kid doing Lego Star Wars TIE Fighter, which Eli should be all about. So I'm like, oh, good. Now you can record, because I have been letting him record these videos and uploading them to YouTube just for the family to see, because it's delightful how he's like, hey, guys, here are the play actions for my golden ninja.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. And then he'll be like, well, I hope you've enjoyed this video review today.
Oh my gosh,
see you next time. It's outrageously cute. And I just had no idea that the self-review, so to speak,
uh-huh,
or the individual review of things had become such a big deal. But it not only is it all over YouTube, but now there's like a kid-friendly offshoot.
Wow. So we are building an army of critics.
Yes.
And
or total narcissists.
Right. There could be that downside to it. But, I mean, what is always the big complaint about critics is that they don't really know what they're talking about. They're just full of themselves. If we have this army of children learning the basics of reviews at an early age, this could pay off in 20 to 30 years with improved quality of critics.
It could. I don't know if it – yeah, exactly. It may not lead to improved quality of toys or games or food, although it might. But definitely improved quality of critics. I mean, the expectation is personal use and engagement here.
Right, because, you know, the whole 10,000 hours thing.
Yep, exactly. Yeah,
they're getting it in early. They're
gonna be really are.
Genius at this.
And I can't believe the variety of categories on this site. There's toys and games, movies and TV, books and magazines, food, sports.
How are the
like
movie
where they review
reviews?
Their athletes.
How are the movie
adorable,
reviews?
I bet. All right, let's pull up a comedy one.
All right.
Let's see. Maybe we can listen to one of them. Here is Sugar Plum reviewing the Wreck-It Ralph movie.
Hi, I'm Sugar Plum, and I'm reviewing the movie Wreck-It Ralph. I saw it with my dad, and I loved it. It is even good for the parents. If you're not exactly sure what it is about, I'll tell you. It's about a video game called Fix-It Felix Jr., and in the game, Ralph is a bad guy, and he wants to get a medal to show that he is good.
It's already better than 90% of the critics out there.
I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it. Suck it, Rotten Tomatoes. Plus, plus Sugar Plum, as you might expect, is adorable.
Is she a little Sugar Plum?
She's a little Sugar Plum. She's got her little snaggle teeth because she's losing her teeth. She's so cute.
So,
in a normal kid way, not like...
Okay, Legos, you just started talking about Lego reviews, which is awesome because Legos now are no longer under patent protection, which means everybody can make them, which is bringing down the price, right?
Which has led to Lego becoming my mortal enemy. And now that they have lost patent protection on the blocks, I am getting a 3D printer and some pretty good CAD software, and Lego is going down.
Wait a minute. They're expensive. Why are they expensive?
So Lego realized, what I did discover, like in the business sense, no dummies. Ain't no dust on those Rolling Stones over at Legos. That didn't even make any sense, but you know what I'm saying. Lego was a $4 billion business last year because they realized that if they couldn't protect the exclusivity of the blocks, that what they should get into is exclusive content and exclusive licensing deals. So now, you know, in our day, you bought a set of Lego blocks and you built things, and it was pure imagination.
Patents only have a limited protection. What has virtually unlimited protection that no one can steal from us? Oh, right. Intellectual property. Perfect.
Intellectual property and licensing. Yes. So they started out their first genius move, I think, was licensing Star Wars.
Yeah.
And making Star Wars Legos. And then so what you get now, instead of a set of a bunch of blocks, is you get a super character or content oriented set that costs anywhere from $40 to $90. And that instead of using your imagination to build a beautiful ship or come up with whatever you wanted, you follow 172 instructions, and at the end of it, you have a TIE fighter. Or, you know, and then they have gotten into these minifigures. And it is – so then not only did they go the licensing route with things that already existed, they got into original content creation. So they have a show called Ninjago, like Ninja Lego, Ninja Go. And they're little Lego ninjas, and my son is obsessed with them, and so is every other boy his age.
Oh, it's the modern day He-Man.
It's unbelievable.
You make the show on the toy, and you sell the toy.
Yes, and then you sell an entire Lego set around the toy. So you don't just sell the little figures. Like, there's four ninjas, and you have to have the four ninjas have four stages of development. So therefore, you've got that combination of four squared minifigures that you will eventually have to buy. And each minifigure only comes as part of a set that costs anywhere from $30 to $150. And you can't just buy that. Like, I actually went so far as to go on Amazon and just order some basically bootleg minifigure of one of the ninjas, because I was like, I'm not buying another $100 set so that I can have some stupid, like, vehicle in my house. And it just came, like, in an envelope. It didn't even have a box. I was like, you ripped this out of a set on a truck from China, and I don't even care.
Didn't even fall off the truck.
And then every time I turn around, there's a new Lego show. I mean, it's amazing. It is really, in terms of business acumen, absolutely genius.
So,
and in terms of parenting,
what we've learned here, which is not going to solve your problem, is that when you remove monopolistic protections, you actually see more innovation.
Yes. It's a big dilemma for me, because I have to say, I am unquestionably impressed with what Lego has been able to accomplish in terms of, like, just keeping their business going, you know, and nobody else seems to even be making blocks that are any good, interestingly.
Well, there's a certain amount of industrial knowledge at play there, right? I mean, Lego knows how to make these things.
Right. And they had they did have the patent for a very long time. But yeah, now Lego's making money like they've never made before. But, you know, I finally did just buy Eli a box of bricks. And I said, I want you to use your imagination.
Well, you should be able to get those used, right? Or was that dangerous? Maybe that's dangerous.
It's probably dangerous, but
you know, that may be a side thing, but when I was moving, I tried to donate toys to Goodwill and they wouldn't take them.
I've heard that there's
joking
a lot of
hazards.
Plastic they won't take, yeah.
Yep.
And sometimes they're not taking plastic toys just because they're so cheap, or there's lead in the paint, or yeah.
Exactly. They're like, we're not going to be liable for any of the issues surrounding toy sales, so forget it. They're not new, we're not taking them.
Yeah, talk about disposable culture.
Yeah.
It's depressing. Anyway, Lego is my mortal enemy, turns out. Now. And in all of these reviews, in a lot of the online reviews of Lego products, you will hear the people saying, this set used to be $12 and now it's $19.99, and that kind of sucks. Like, it's becoming this weird, like, people are really commenting more and more often on how expensive Lego is getting.
But at some point, they'll price themselves too high. It's got to come down, right?
I would think so, because they're children's toys. Like, you can't just keep, very few parents can afford to just keep buying toys at that volume and that price. It's ridiculous.
It's always a problem with popular toys. is that they're priced too high because they're popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in this case, the I guess that's always like a new Furby would come out every 2 weeks.
Yes. Or what were the Beanie Babies?
Yeah. Whatever it is, whatever the thing is.
Back in the old days, we had Cabbage Patch Kids.
They were the same deal.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You watch it, Lego. You will fall just
as quick.
Coming
for you, Legos.
Cabbage Patch Kids. Me and my Maker Pot, we're coming for you.
She will take you apart brick by brick.
Oh, yes. Nicely done.
All right. Well, with that threat, I suppose.
Hanging over the head of Lego.
We can bring episode 2 to an end. These are great. I'm having fun with these.
I am loving It's a Thing, you guys. And as always, tweet us your things at It's a Thing. Or, of course, at Molly Wooder Ace Detect.
Sure.
But ideally, send them to It's a Thing. We want to know.
We'll keep an eye out for them. We'll see you next time.
It's just a thing.
Give it to me. I don't need no man.